This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
We all knew that Simone Biles was going to be the story of the Tokyo Olympics. Earlier this week, we put out an entire episode about Biles, one that explained how, even though people expect her to be a perfect gymnastics robot, her greatness is often shaped by her humanity. She makes mistakes and has been very open about the physical and emotional traumas she's dealt with. For those who may not be caught up on the latest, here's where things stand with Biles at the time of this recording on Wednesday night. On the first rotation of the team competition on Tuesday, Biles looked lost as she flew through the air off of the vault. Her vault got the lowest score of any that she's ever performed at the Olympics or World Championships. She withdrew from the team event and did the same for the individual all-around competition, citing her mental health. It's unclear whether she'll participate in any of the four apparatus finals she qualified for, or whether we've seen the last of Simone Biles. Since this has become the story of the Olympics, we're doing a second episode on Biles to discuss where things stand. This format will be different from the other episodes so far. It will just feature an extended conversation with Emily Giambalvo of The Washington Post, who's in Tokyo covering the Olympics and wrote a story on Biles explaining the concept of the twisties. Talking to Emily felt like the best way to make sense of all this in real time. First of all, Emily, how's Tokyo? How are you holding up?
It's been super chaotic the last few days, but really fun and happy to be here.
Well, thanks for taking any of that time to talk to us. So when Simone withdrew, she talked about having the twisties, and it seems like everyone in the gymnastics world just said, oh no, and knew exactly what she was talking about. Quickly, if you could explain what that is and why everyone was so immediately upset to hear that.
Yeah, it's basically this term that makes it sound like it's some really fun, great thing, but it's actually terrifying. And gymnasts use it to describe when you're in the air twisting and you almost just like lose control of your body and where you are. And you either don't do the number of twists you thought you were going to do, or you are not trying to twist at all and you end up twisting. And it maybe sounds simple, but that's really scary when you're in the air, because you count so much on like that muscle memory, and you have to trust your body and that it knows how far to twist and when to stop, because it makes a difference to how safely you can land. And when you're just flying through the air, it can be so fun when you do it right. And it can be so scary when you realize something is wrong in the air.
Everybody you asked about the twisties sort of immediately understood, and it clicked, like this is something that happens and you just have to sort of deal with it, right?
Yeah, I think every gymnast, if you just look on social media, it's been this remarkable flood of empathy. You know, it's not something you can control, and everyone knows it's miserable, whether you're a level 8 in South Carolina or Simone Biles at the Olympics. And it's actually kind of funny. Like I did gymnastics, and I always thought twisties was just like our term we use at our gym. I didn't realize it was this like nationwide term that people use. I just thought it was something that my teammates made up. And then like she said it, and everyone knew, like, oh my gosh, the twisties. And it seems to be really uniting gymnasts. And I don't think you will hear from one gymnast who's like, oh yeah, she definitely could have just figured that out in a day. It's something that people really struggle with and understand kind of how scary it is to be in the air, unsure of where you are. Because normally as a gymnast, that like air sense is your most powerful tool, and it's what makes all this possible. And when it's gone, it's really dangerous.
So she goes out there for the all-around final on the first rotation, and she does the vault and just like sort of thuds into the ground kind of and didn't seem to know where it was. And she was all out of rhythm. And people kind of could just tell just from seeing that, that something was wrong.
Yeah. And she actually did the same thing in warm up. And I, you know, I've watched a lot of her gymnastics over the last decade and have never seen anything like that. And when I saw her doing it in warm up, you know, I was like, oh, that was weird. But you just kind of assumed it was all going to be okay in competition. Like she's so automatic with her vault. So you just thought it was going to all come back with muscle memory and she'd be totally fine. And then, like you said, it was just almost like she stalled out. And you can see when you twist, your arms kind of come in tight to your shoulder. And she kind of opened hers early, which is what happens when you're like stalling out or trying to stop the twist. And it's almost like she's just floating, suspended in the air in shock. I mean, I'm sure that's what it felt like. And then kind of does come like just thudding back to the ground. And it's remarkable that she was able to land it safely. It really speaks to kind of like her instincts.
Yeah, it almost feels like we were split seconds away from something a lot worse happening because she didn't seem to know where she was going. And it just happened to like the ground seemed to come up on her feet like that. It's kind of frightening to think about what could have happened there.
It's a vault with one flip and 1.5 or 2.5 twists based on what she did. And like, who knows when the last time she's done a 1.5 is, because that vault, she probably learned that when she was 10 years old. So it hardly even muscle memory in her brain anymore. But it's kind of cool that like her body was able to know that like the 1.5 was a good stopping place rather than like a 1.75 where maybe you're twisting into the ground and that's, you know, dangerous for your knees. But it was just bizarre. And it is something that I think even people who've never done gymnastics could watch that and just know like something did not look right in the air.
As someone who's never, you know, done any level of gymnastics, when you see a sport like this or like diving where people are doing multiple flips, you just think, how do they know where the ground is? And it seems like this innate sense that they must have in them or something that they practiced so many times. It seems like one of the most critical things. And the sense I'm getting is in this particular thing, it just sort of disappears for these gymnasts, even top level gymnasts.
Yeah. And, you know, like she didn't talk at length about this specific twisties problem, but my guess is based on kind of my own experiences in gymnastics and people I've talked to, like she said, she'd been having problems with some skills in training. And then what happens is once you start thinking about that, then when you're standing at the end of the vault runway and you're thinking about like, oh gosh, I hope I twist the right number of times, or I hope my twisting is right. What if it's not right? How do I even twist? Like, what do I do? That completely overrides the normal thinking of just like a few corrections, like those couple key things that you need to think about. And I think twisting is a unique piece of gymnastics because once you start overthinking it, at least my brain, and I kind of understand the physics of a lot of things in gymnastics, but when I think about twisting, I'm like, wait, how do our bodies do that? How do they remember to keep flipping while also kind of spinning in this other direction? And it gets really complicated. And then like, imagine staying at a vault runway, at the end of the vault runway, and like that's all going through your head. Like you're almost doomed from the start when that's your mindset. And that's why this phenomenon is like so difficult for gymnasts.
And it's especially worrisome with Simone because she's going out there and doing the most difficult and dangerous, you know, elements in the history of the sport. In the talk of the FIG has lowered the difficulty score of these moves because they're so dangerous and want to discourage people from performing them. These are moves that if anything goes slightly wrong, they're the hardest, and you know, potentially something very wrong could happen if there's something slightly off. And she's done them right for so many years, but this time it just didn't happen.
Yeah. And like her new vault, like it's still the hardest vault in the world, has the hardest difficulty score. And that's not the vault she was doing here, but she does have the hardest routines in the world. And I often joke that it's almost like a disservice to her because she makes it look so easy. So it's like when you're just watching it and you see her just so easily making all these skills and usually bouncing out of them because she has too much power on skills that already require so much power, she just makes them look so effortless. And that's why she's great. But it sometimes can be really easy to forget when you're watching gymnastics at the highest level, just how hard this all is. Like, unless you've really experienced it, it's hard to comprehend like why what she's doing is just so incredibly hard, but it just makes it so risky. And like, she's 24 and she's smart and she understands like that it was risky and that's why she pulled out. And it's honestly pretty impressive that she was able to see it in that light.
Yeah. It feels like when I see the way that people have framed this, people talk about it, make it sound like she could have gone out there and won, but she just wasn't feeling good that day, so she didn't do it. And it seems to me more like in the state that she's in, the way that she'd been performing in the qualifications, the way that that vault, you know, was one of the lowest scores she's ever gotten on a vault, she wasn't going to win, and she was potentially going to get herself badly hurt.
Yeah, so it was the team competition here, and she said afterward, like, pulling out was the right thing for her safety and for the team's medal chances. It's not like she did not think she was going to be able to go do her routines that she normally does. And like, that could have cost the US a medal. Obviously that's not the priority. Like her safety is, but she recognized that and like told the other gymnasts that, and they kind of carried it from there. But I think in hindsight, like, she was fine in qualifications. Like, she had some errors, but not things we've never seen before. She just wasn't at her best. And like, to think that she was doing that probably under the similar level of just emotional distress is like wild. And I can't imagine how much effort that took. And to see her do that is pretty cool, but who knows if we'll see her again.
Yeah. Did the people you talked to about this, when you reached out to gymnasts and asked them about dealing with this sort of mental block, did they give any sense of if this is a thing that can be dealt with quickly, or if this is a thing that you just have to wait and see and hope and pray that it resolves itself?
Yeah, it's hard to guess because it's like, I don't know like which skills it's going on with Simone. I think in general, it can be like a days to weeks thing. So it wouldn't have been something that like resolved itself during the competition the other day. And then with such a quick turnaround to the all around final, like, I think it makes a lot of sense that like, okay, she's not going to be ready to compete in the all around final on Thursday, but you know, maybe there's still a chance she comes out and competes next week in the event finals. But I think she knows she kind of has the right to decide and the right to do what's safest for her. But I think the other thing that's really important is that like the way I see it, based on what she said, is that like, she's dealing with this like huge umbrella of mental health issues related to all sorts of things. And like, this phenomenon in gymnastics is just kind of how it's like manifesting in her training and competition. So it's like, I don't think like, I just don't want to ever frame this to where like, once she figures out how to twist again or figures out how to do these skills again, you know, the other stuff doesn't go away. I just think this is an example of like, how difficult those struggles are. And this is how they're showing in her gymnastics, and her gymnastics is not immune to those issues.
When I look at her career, you know, she's had this almost remarkable level of resilience physically when she's been dealing with kidney stones or injuries. She's kept competing. She's come back, you know, at the point where she was already pretty much cemented as one of the greatest, you know, most successful gymnasts of all time, kept coming back for another Olympic cycle, for another year. And, you know, it just makes me think, for her to not perform, to choose not to, is so much the opposite of what she's done over her career, that like, something had to be, you know, it had to be such a difficult choice for her. This is like, it had to be absolutely necessary, it feels like to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone has any doubt that like, if she thought she could do this safely and to the caliber that she needed to, like, she absolutely would have done it. Like, I don't know a single Olympian who wouldn't have that mindset. So I think it does speak to, you know, just how difficult this was. And also just like the maturity she has, like she said 5 years ago, she probably would have tried to push through it. And like, who knows what that would have resulted in if she could have gotten hurt. And now it's like, she said, no, this is what's best for me. It didn't really sound like she needed a push at all from like the medical staff or her coaches to say like, hey, Simone, maybe take a step back. Like, she was the one who said like, yeah, I can't do this today. And they were like, oh, okay. Yes, you're right. You can't. So I think it had to be pretty serious.
And even afterwards, you know, she had her best face on for the world. You know, she stayed out on the floor. She was cheering everyone on. She was in the press conferences. She was on the medal podium. So she's also been kind of resilient in that way, too.
Yeah, I was shocked that she came and talked to the media. One, even if she had just come in and given a couple answers to explain what was going on. But the fact that she came out there, it was like nearly 20 minutes. And that was just with written media, not counting broadcasts and the formal press conference. And it was just like, you know, she seemed, it was like lighthearted at times, serious at times. She was just herself. And it was remarkable that she was able to talk about these issues in such a profound way moments after probably having one of the difficult, most difficult days of her career. And I think she also understood, like, she's always been very aware of her power and of her influence and what her words can do. And I think she was even aware of that that night. Like, she realized that this could be an important moment for how athletes treat mental health. And she understood her role in that and maybe realized that was bigger than what could have been the easy decision of just saying, like, you know what, I'm gonna go back to my hotel room and start figuring this out. So just really impressive all around.
You said you've been watching this for years. You've been watching Simone for years. What's it sort of been like covering this moment where you were expecting to cover the you know, another coronation for her, and instead it's been this.
Yeah. You know, every other meet this year, kind of like a running joke among the media is like, how many different ways can we write about how great Simone is? You know, every meet you cover, it's like a different variation of like, oh, like, guess what? Simone's still the best gymnast ever. And you were just thinking about doing that on the Olympic stage, like, oh, how am I going to write this? And I really haven't like taken a step back at all to reflect on like even being here or covering this, like, this moment. Like, obviously it's not about us as media, but this is my first time covering gymnastics at an Olympics. And you just kind of try to get through each moment and each day. And you try to like, let her words like carry everything you do, because like what she's saying is so powerful. But it has been a pretty surreal experience, just like watching that team final, thinking that the huge story was going to be like, can Russia beat the US? And then suddenly the entire story is like, is Simone in the arena? Has she come back? Is she wearing her grips? Is she in her sweats? So it was just kind of a surreal experience to cover a sporting event and have it so centered on, like, you know, obviously this one person who is either there or not there.
We'll be back with another episode of The Ringer Guide to the Summer Games tomorrow. I'd like to thank Emily John Balvo for joining us. And I'd also like to thank Lonnie Ronaldo, Ben Glicksman, and Arjuna Ramgopal for helping put this episode together. And I'd like to thank you for listening.